Let's turn now in our Bibles to Psalm 125. Psalm 125. Let's now again give our careful attention to the reading of God's Word. Psalm 125, a song of ascents. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abides forever. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds His people from this time forth and forevermore. For the scepter of wickedness shall not rest on the land allotted to the righteous, lest the righteous stretch out their hands to do wrong. Do good, O Lord, to those who are good, and to those who are upright in their hearts. But those who turn aside to their crooked ways, the Lord will lead away with evildoers. Peace be upon Israel. Let's pray together again, briefly. Our God and our Father, may your word be more precious to us than the finest gold, and sweeter to our lips than drippings from the honeycomb. And Father, we pray that by your word and by your Spirit, you would revive our souls and enlighten our eyes, and reveal yourself to us, and be gracious to us, and lead us upon paths of righteousness for your name's sake. We do pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Security is a basic human desire. Everyone desperately craves security. We want security, we want assurance that the things we love will endure. And we want security for many different things: our personal well-being, the well-being of loved ones, money and possessions, certain life situations. We want job security, marriage security, relationship security. And as a people created by God in His image, we crave security, and we crave it so desperately in this life for one simple reason: we don't have it. And so enters the multi-billion-dollar insurance industry. We know we don't have any real security in the things of this life, and so we pay a lot of money for the next best thing. Meanwhile, we are, as a society, slaves to a corporate, greed-driven, and mindset that has us convinced that we are to find security in a never-ending lust for more of the things of this world, for more money, for more stuff and more power and more influence. And, by the way, the more you have, the more insurance that you need to, quote-unquote, protect your, quote-unquote, security. And we wonder why we are at least one of, if not the most medicated and depressed societies in the history of the world, while being simultaneously one of the most vain and self-serving. We look for security in earthly things that are doomed to fail. And so we are left like a broken reed in a raging tempest. And all the while, the promise of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is that all who trust in Him will be like Mount Zion. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but endures forever. Psalm 125 is a glorious psalm about the absolute security that Christian believers have in covenant with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. There is only one place to have an absolute and an eternal security. And that place is in covenant with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember that the Psalms of Ascents, Psalm 120 through Psalm 135, or Psalm 134, is a series of psalms designed for the worshiping Israelites as they made pilgrimage from their hometown to the city of Jerusalem on the high holy days. And one of the extraordinary things about this series of psalms is that the psalmist doesn't just fixate on the earthly realities of worship in Jerusalem as an end in themselves. These psalms deal with the wonderful themes of pilgrimage and of Jerusalem and of Mount Zion. But our psalmist does not fixate upon these things as an end in themselves. Rather, in a powerful and profound way, the psalmist sees these earthly realities as being simply signposts pointing to an even greater and more abiding spiritual reality. The Israelites' earthly pilgrimage to an earthly city and an earthly mount was but a signpost pointing him to a spiritual pilgrimage, to a heavenly city, and an eternal mount. And so these psalms, and Psalm 125 in particular, point us to the glorious reality of the new covenant that we have in Christ, that we have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. In Christ, we have received a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Hebrews chapter 12. And so as we meditate on these glorious new covenant realities, there are three short points that we will consider. First, entering into the kingdom. Second, the present tribulation of the kingdom. And third, the eternal security of the kingdom. And so first, we think about entering into the kingdom. What must we do to be like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved but abides forever? Must we have the right number of spiritual experiences by which we could prove that we were part of the kingdom? Must we have enough good deeds by which we could prove that we are part of the kingdom? Absolutely not. There could never be enough experiences or works that could ever give us any assurance whatsoever. Well, what then does our psalm say? Verse 1. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion. Not experiences, not works, but trust. Faith in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And yes, this is such a simple and fundamental aspect of our Christian walk, but it is one for which we must fight every single day. We have a flesh that only knows how to relate to God through our works. Have I done enough? Have I loved enough? Have I experienced enough? Have I prayed enough? Have I witnessed enough? If we're not diligent, we can blink and all of a sudden be back in this earthly, fleshly mode of wondering if we've done enough to be accepted by God and loved by Him. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion. We enter into the kingdom by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We abide in the kingdom by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The life we now live, we live by faith in the Son of God who has loved us and gave Himself for us. Second, the present tribulation of the kingdom. All is not well in our psalm. We discover in verse 3 that the circumstances in which our psalmist is writing are such that the wicked seem to be prevailing over the church. Our psalm acknowledges that there will be times when the wicked will seem very much to have the upper hand, and God's people are straining under the burden. Remember that we are not yet a kingdom consummated. In this life, we are a kingdom at war. We are a kingdom at war with the spiritual forces of darkness in the heavenly places. And God has ordained that there will be times when the scepter of wickedness seems to be stretched out over the head of the saints. The Christian church throughout her history has known times of great persecution. And even now in our own day, there is a fast and troubling increase of persecution. And in many places around the globe, the scepter of wickedness seems to be stretched out over the head of the saints. And perhaps in your own spiritual battle against the flesh and against the evil one, you feel as though the scepter of wickedness is stretched out over your head. Remember that the scepter of wickedness is not the only scepter on the block, so to speak. In Genesis chapter 49, God promises through Jacob that the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until he comes to whom it belongs, and to him shall be the obedience of the peoples, a glorious and an ancient prophecy of the Lord Jesus Christ and His kingship and His coming. And our psalmist knows this promise well, and he knows that when the Lion of the tribe of Judah is revealed from heaven, wickedness will flee at the very sight of Him. The promise that wickedness will not prevail is a promise that God fulfills through the kingship of our Lord Jesus Christ. God fulfills that promise to us in the exaltation of His Son, our Savior, to be enthroned at His right hand. He defends us and He protects us in this life, even as He subdues and conquers all His and our enemies. And so, yes, there are going to be times when the scepter of wickedness feels stretched out over your head, ready to fall at any moment. But the scepter of Christ's kingship is the scepter of righteousness. Psalm 45, and His arrows are sharp in the heart of His enemies, and the peoples are subdued beneath Him. And so no wickedness can ever prevail against you. No wickedness can ever prevail against you. Because the Lord Jesus Christ is your defender and your protector. Remember Psalm 124. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. In this life we are surrounded by enemies. But Jesus Christ is our glorious and exalted champion. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Same Hebrew word there in Psalm 23. The rod of the wicked will always be stretched out against the church in this life. But the rod of Christ is our comfort and our protection and our security. For God is for us. Who then can be against us? And let's come now to think at last about the eternal security of the kingdom. Entering into the kingdom, the present tribulation of the kingdom, and now the eternal security of the kingdom. As our psalmist draws near to the city of Jerusalem, the topographical layout of the holy city leads him to meditate on the spiritual realities behind the earthly. Look with me at verse 2. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds His people. From this time forth and forevermore. Mount Zion is not the highest peak in the Jerusalem region. In all four directions away from Jerusalem, there are peaks higher in elevation than Mount Zion, which was a natural feature that gave to Jerusalem a built-in fortification and defensibility. And this geographical topography leads our psalmist to contemplate a deeper spiritual topography. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds His people. Like a pack of elephants circling round to defend one of their young, the Lord surrounds us. And there is no opening in that protective circle through which the enemy can reach us to snatch us away from the Lord. We are hemmed in by the infinite power and the invincible love of our covenant-keeping God. And our God is not a God of time. He is a God of eternity. And so Christianity is not a religion of time, but rather a religion of eternity. A relationship with God through Christ that will endure forever. Our hope will not perish with these mortal bodies. Our hope will endure to all the endless ages of eternity, secure in Jesus Christ. To recall the line that we just sung from Psalm 48, He is our God forevermore, who guides eternally. He is our God forevermore, who guides eternally. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this perishable body must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. Our relationship with God must be eternal, because He has united us to His Son in the bond of the Holy Spirit. And such an intimate union with the Son of God could never be broken by time. It's simply the logic of the intimacy of our union with Christ. It cannot end. It demands an eternity to praise God and to worship Him. An eternity of praise and love and fellowship in the Spirit. As we come to the end of our psalm, there is a warning that we must heed as well. Look with me at verse 5. Those who turn aside to their crooked ways, the Lord will lead away with evildoers. Even as the psalmist on his earthly pilgrimage approaches the earthly Zion, he is keenly aware that there are those who are in the church, but are not of the church. Their membership is a physical membership merely, and not a spiritual membership. And in their heart, they delight in their crooked ways. And the psalmist says that despite their association with the church, they will be led away with evildoers. And do you see what characterizes this class of people, this class of spiritual hypocrites? They turn aside to their crooked ways. They own those ways as their own ways. They turn aside to ways that now control the desires and affections of their hearts. And brothers and sisters, all of us struggle with sin and struggle against the flesh. But let us never own the ways of sin as our own. Let us never give ourselves over to sin in the desires and affections of our hearts to control us and to lead us. If you feel yourself tempted to these crooked ways, renounce them. In reliance on God's grace, cast them off and disown them and run to the Lord in faith and in repentance. We will struggle with the flesh until the day that we die. But may our Christian walk be a constant and continual casting of ourselves on the Lord Jesus Christ in faith and in repentance, believing in this glorious promise that those who trust in the Lord shall be like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved but abides forever. On the day of judgment, our psalmist assures us that those who publicly professed Christ, yet secretly lived as His enemy, will forever be purged from the church of God. Let us then renew faith and repentance every single day that we draw breath in this life. And let us abide in the love of our Savior and rest in His grace, knowing that all those who come to Him, He will never cast out of His kingdom. And no one will ever snatch us out of His hand. Psalm 125 is well summarized by the words of our Lord Jesus in John chapter 16 and verse 33. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. In ourselves we are like a bruised reed in a raging tempest, sure to be broken and crushed by the scepter of wickedness. But in Christ we are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abides forever. And for all those who are in Christ, God says at the end of our psalm, peace be upon you. For neither circumcision counts for anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. And for all who walk by this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God. Let's pray together. Our God and our Father, our hearts rejoice in the security that is ours in Christ Jesus. We rejoice and we give you thanks that in Christ we are like Mount Zion, which can never be moved, but abides forever. And so, Father, we do pray again that you would lead us on paths of righteousness for your name's sake. That, Father, you would keep us secure in the love of Christ, even as you have promised to us that nothing in all creation will ever separate us from your love in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And so, Father, we do look to Christ. We do trust in Him and rest in Him. And pray that you would be glorified in the church as we do look to your hand for our salvation. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.